to take a look at our sermon archive. Also, we have, you've probably seen this on some of our information, but we've had a logo drawn up that's going to be used for our online information, as there are a couple different Stillwater ministries floating around out there. I had a friend of mine work on this. You may see the S for Stillwater that looks like a water droplet, and then also the flame of Pentecost there in the center to show, I think, what we are as a people and what we're striving to do. If you also are interested, you could have a digital copy of our bulletins. It's also on the Faith Life site, but all of the slides, all of the announcements are put there every Sunday. You just click on it on your phone, and it will come straight to you. Also, Tom Downs has been doing a wonderful job putting together the announcements from the church and getting that information out to you as well. Well, let's go ahead then and take just a moment and open our Bibles up to the book of Luke, chapter 10. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. My Father, I ask for your help this morning to speak in such a way that your church draws hope and faith from the word, that I would be able to assist them in seeking you. I ask, Lord, that your Spirit would work strongly in their hearts to draw them to yourself. I ask that this would be a year not of fear or of anxiety, Lord, but one of pursuit of you. Guide us, Lord. Draw us. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. First thing I did, 2021, as an adult individual out in the world, I stepped out my back door to go and defrost my car, and I fell right off the back porch. Slipped, and I thought, hello, 2021, I am on my way. I sat right down in a puddle, and I thought, it's going to get better from here. And it has. So far, it's been a great year. Just ask the Buckeyes. You know, there's been a lot of good things happening. But I am excited to carry on our study of the Gospel of Luke. After our service today, we're going to be taking communion. So my friends at home, I would ask you to take some time to quiet down your household and celebrate the Lord's table as a family. But we're going to begin reading in chapter 10 of the book of Luke, verse 1. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Many people are in the habit of attending church and gathering to their minds information, a knowledge of the Word of God, and that is of tremendous importance, but it is not the sole reason that we gather information from the Scriptures. I believe that the purpose of our study of Scripture has two purposes. The first of them is to give us personally a clearer, deeper view of Jesus, to understand what he has said, to learn why he has said it, and personally to draw strength as we seek a knowledge of him. The second reason that we fill our minds and hearts with that knowledge is the hope that we in turn might make straight the path of the Lord for someone else to come into a relationship with Jesus. Many Christians excel at the first and balk at the second, expecting that to be the job of pastors and Sunday school teachers and deacons. They have failed to realize that God has placed a calling on them personally to make disciples. One day the breath will leave your body and you will stand before the God of the universe and will be held accountable. Do not step into that conversation unprepared. Strive to do right today. This is a new year. This is an opportunity. Everyone's making New Year's resolutions that sound something like this. Lose such and such amount of weight. Buy such and such vehicle. Grow more hair. I don't know what your New Year's resolution is. But I will tell you that Christ, looking down at his church, if he were to give us a list of things that he wanted us to do, might bring up the Great Commission. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. This is a command of God of the same caliber as thou shalt not kill. We must fill our minds and hearts with the word of God, yes, so that we personally can grow in our faith. But it is never intended that Christianity would be a sponge faith. We are to be a wellspring, giving unto others, enriching and blessing one another. Jesus sends his disciples out ahead of him. And the implication of that is that he's coming behind them. He doesn't just send them out there and say, go win converts while I hang out here in Capernaum and have a nice glass of wine, maybe some olives, some cheese. That's not what's happening at all. He says, look, I'm coming. Go and lay the groundwork in these cities. The disciples were to establish a beachhead for the coming king. Is that so different from what you and I are asked to do? Ought we not seek to lay the groundwork, to plant the seed, at times to reap the harvest? One of the things that I have had the blessing of doing has been meeting with a couple guys, Craig and what's your name? Oh yeah, Nick, that guy over there. We've been gathering together at a local pizza place and just reading scripture together, but it's grown rather common, hasn't it, fellas, for people just to come up and ask for prayer. As they see us reading scripture, they are drawn to it. It's not that hard to be a witness. It's not that hard to find ways to get involved. As a matter of fact, we ignore the whole restaurant and they come to us. If you're going to find that you're really going to live for Jesus, you're going to find that the rest of the world will notice it. They'll be drawn to you. They'll ask you to pray. They'll apologize when they're cussing and all sorts of silly things. But the reality of it is this, is that we must turn our eyes away from the service of self and begin to view our fellowship not as a mutual appreciation society, but as a regiment of the church universal engaged in the battle against the darkness. Those of you who've been listening to my sermons for a while may have noticed that I like numbers in the Bible. Here I find Jesus sends out how many disciples? Did you catch it? 72. Will anybody in here be shocked to find that some translations read this 70? This goes back all the way to what's called the Table of Nations in the book of Genesis. And depending on how you count the nations, there are either 70 or 72. It depends on whether or not you count a couple grandkids as their own specific nation or not. But Jesus doesn't randomly pick this number. He is specifically telegraphing what he is doing. He's saying to the world, I am sending my disciples to the uttermost parts of the world. This mission has not stopped. It continues on. Nor is it accidental that you find these people, these disciples, sent out in two by two. Find a friend to stand by you, to pray with you. We were made to exist in community. It's one reason that it's so hard to be separated right now during COVID. We thrive when we are not doing the job alone, but when we are linked together with like-minded friends, where the mission is shared and the goal is there. This is what Christ has laid in front of us. And he has not asked us to go alone, but together to preach the word, to be faithful in season and out of season. Jesus sends them out as sheep and not shepherds. I had a hard time with that part of the verse when I read that. It's right there in verse 3. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as super powerful warrior people. No. He says, look, you are the sheep. I am the shepherd. The sheep go where the shepherd directs. What if the sheep don't like the direction they're being sent? Then churches split. And families break, and hearts are shattered, and expectations destroyed. The Church of God must not be known for its divisiveness, but for its unity. Step out into our foyer sometime and take a look at the beautiful piece of art and signage that hangs there. The Yoders made it, I believe, and hung it up. And there's a word that should jump out at you as you look at our sign, and it's the word unity, because this brings glory to God. The act of forgiveness is the way of the cross. The act of faithfulness is the way of the cross, even when we do not like the job that we're being asked to do. Lots of people get nervous when you ask them, hey, would you talk about your faith with so-and-so? Well, I don't know. Would you teach her how to pray? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I know what to say. Well, why don't you think about it for a little bit? Could I come up to you and say, listen, this lady needs help. Will you meet with her once a week? Or would you tell me, I'm a very busy person? We must find the time to value what is valuable. We are not the shepherd. We are the sheep. The sheep were not to control the situation, but to wait upon the hand of God to bring them victory. Here we find the harvest truly was plenteous, but the laborers are few. Has that changed? 60% of Miami County identifies spiritually as nothing. It's right here. Everyone else works from the position of a minority. How many children, youth, are out there right now struggling with depression, with anxiety, with a lack of care and compassion? How many people are alone in their sickness or in their... You know what I'm talking about. There has never been a time in my lifetime where the needs were so highlighted. This is no time for the church to put on its quiet face and to sit idly by. But we must lay plans and step into action to reach the lost, to create disciples. The harvest is plenteous. We fail to engage in the command to make disciples, and we wonder why the blessing of God is absent from our churches, why the power of the Spirit of God refuses to fall on our assembly. And I can't help but wonder, what did you expect him to do? I see you down there doing nothing. I will bless you with my presence. That's not normally how that works. The Lord gave David aid when he was on the battlefield. The River Jordan split as the toes of the priests dipped into the water itself. Can you imagine the kind of courage it took? Listen, I promise the water's going to stop flowing. And you get closer and you get closer, especially be the guy in the front holding the ark, because the guys in the back aren't ready to stop yet. By the time they figure out it's not going to work, you're going to be up to your chest in the water. They stepped in, and the hand of God worked. Let us also step into the water of Jordan. Let us also seek not just for what is wrong. I can make you a list of what's wrong. Goodness gracious, it's easy to see it. But how do we use what is in front of us for the glory of God. What is God doing in the midst of pandemic? Don't come to me with a list of problems. Come to me with the eyes that have seen a way to reach through the problem and to the people. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here? Like, I don't know what that means. Okay, yeah, you do. I'm telling you, the fields are white to harvest, but the laborers are few. We are called to this village to shake the gates, to wake the sleeper. The darkness is rising, and the church must shake off its slumber and don its armor, pull its eyes away from itself. Have eyes that see and ears that hear, that hold on to not the kingdoms of this world, but the kingdom of God. Lord God, speak to your flock. May their hearts understand what I'm trying to say. The next part of this passage tells them, carry no money bag, nor knapsack, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter first, say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. That's an interesting phrase, by the way, if a son of peace is there. But if not, your peace will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house whenever you enter a town. And they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. I'm going to stop there. No, I'm not. I'm going to go on. But whenever you enter a town, and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. It's beautiful, isn't it? It rests there in their street. If only they will pick it up. I tell you that it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Now, this is interesting. I can get my act together here. Here we go. The disciples were asked here to place their trust in the sovereign hand of God, not to trust in their planning abilities. What were they supposed to take with them? Yeah, nothing. That's what they were supposed to take with them. Do you know why they were supposed to take nothing? Because that stuff was going to be provided for them by the people they were serving along the way. That God does not send us out to accomplish the task alone, but that he has placed people along the path who will stand with you and lift you up. Did you notice twice he's there? He talks about food. Apparently Peter was worried about this. Yeah, but how much beef jerky should I pack? You don't pack any beef jerky. You don't do that. You let it be as it is. He says, no, yeah, but how many pairs of sandals do I need? No, the idea was that as you are busy serving God, when other people see that you have a need, they will reach into your life and provide that need. Suddenly, it multiplied. You are involved in the task. I am involved in the task. And when I have a way to bless you, I do that. And when you have a way to bless me, you do. You see how this works? So that we together, through a path of generosity, bring Eden to the very doorsteps of our community. Look not to the bank to accomplish the will of God, but look to the grace of God to meet the need that lies ahead. God will bring other sons of peace to serve alongside of you, if only you will march to the battlefield. Be at rest. Be at rest with a task before you. You know, the disciples, they walk into one house, right? What if there's a nicer house down the street, right? They find out that guy is also interested, and he's got a, I don't know, swimming pool in the backyard or something. No, Jesus, listen, you stay right where you're at, and you work right there. How easy is it for us to constantly be desiring to upgrade, 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 look for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing? Instead, what Jesus is telling them here is, listen, I'm using you where you are. Understand that the plan of God encompasses even places like your home, your work, your friends. You are able to reach into places that I, as the preacher, could never reach. God has placed a mission field before you, and you are the bearer of the gospel to that field. The point is to show the kingdom and to point away from the fears of darkness. Wherever the people of God worship and serve, our eyes must seek the kingdom of God and our actions point them to its reality. We are to be a people of peace, a people of forgiveness, a people of generosity. And 2021 will give you loads of opportunities to fall right off the back porch. It's embarrassing. You go sit in the car and your pants are a little soggy. It's just uncomfortable. But I'm not the only one in this room who's ever fell off their back porch. Front porch, side porch, what do you call that, Diana? Step, all right. It's got her twice that I know of. It's an annual tradition. But it happens to all of us. Listen, we're all less graceful than we wish we were. But the reality of it is that the only reason I fell is because I got up and went out the door and tried to live life. I had stuff to do. How many Christians never fall down because they're never trying to do anything? They've let the fear of, well, I'm not a good teacher, stop them. Well, I'd ask to pray for them, but they might not want me to pray for them, and that's embarrassing. Stop them. You've got to try. And the God that split the waters will stand by you. Your part is faithfulness. Preach and serve wherever you are, but do not forget the mission. If you make one attempt and it fails, try another. If you do one thing and it closes up, you keep pushing, you keep moving. Move along to the next. And do not take the baggage of those failures with you. This is very hard. I'm going to stand here in front of a camera and people and confess something, that I struggle hard with this. When I have failed at something, or a relationship has gone bad, or there's been an attack against me personally, I have a tendency to hold a grudge and to allow my fear of that happening again to stop me from stepping out and trying again. I see a couple nods out there. Apparently there's a couple of us here. Did you notice what he told the disciples to do? Go and shake the dust off your feet and tell them the kingdom of God has come near. He did not say, go out there and tell them fire, brimstone, and damnation will rise upon this city. He says, listen, leave their dirt where they're at and tell them the kingdom of God has come near. And then go on to the next thing. Leave them with the voice of hope. But do not take the dust of that city with them. I'm afraid I've got layers of dust on my personality that I just carry right along with me. Apparently I'm collecting it and holding on to it. What in the world, John Dillon? I've got to let these things go, because what I am holding on to is not the city that rejected me, but the kingdom not made with hands that is yet to come. Do not forget that we are going somewhere. I have something else I'd like to show you. Oh, isn't that a lovely picture? It's actually a video, which is not going to show. Therefore, we will move right along to the next picture. Ah, there we go. At least you can see that one. Come on. This is a place called Chorazim. Chorazim. This is a city where Jesus preached. This is a city where Jesus taught. You can see, I'm going to step away from the camera here. Right there, you see that rectangular building? Can't reach it, okay. I do have the laser thingy. Let's see. Come on, laser, don't fail me now. Right here. That's a synagogue where Jesus preached in. You say, well, does the Bible really talk about this place? I don't remember that. He does, but he doesn't have much good to say about it. This is what he says about Chorazim. Okay, follow with me here in the text. Woe to you, Chorazim, and woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for the judgment of Tyre and Sidon than for you. And for you, Capernaum, you will be exalted to heaven? Question mark. No. You shall be brought down to the pit, to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. The one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Here our Lord continues to explain what he means. He's going to tell us, look, what's going on here? What's happening? The Lord shows us that he has a love for Chorazim. He has a love for Capernaum. He's been serving there. He's been doing miracles there. He's been working and doing the job, but he does not stay there. He never gets to the point where he allows his fixation on the places around Galilee to stop his path to Jerusalem. Is there ever a place where we have to walk away from a failed ministry? Yes. Is there ever a time to shut down a program? Yes. Is there ever a time to look at what you're doing and say, I don't know if this is working well. Let's try something different. No one's thrown anything at me. I really thought like this would be like cries of blasphemy around the room. It's because I've not proposed any specific cuts, right? Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, this happens. But look, churches are really bad at this because our goal is not actually to get people to Jesus. Our goal is normally, let's keep doing what we're doing. Let's just keep doing this because we've got a good intent with this. And you don't actually look at the product that you're putting out there. Listen, Jesus went way out of his way. He performs miracles. He does wonderful things. But the goal was not just to stay in Chorazim. The goal was to point them to the kingdom. And when the time came to step aside and march himself to Jerusalem, that's exactly what he does. Those who reject the word of God are responsible for their rejection of the Word of God. I can't tell you how many times people have gotten mad at me because I told them something. I got a big mouth. And it's easy for me to look at it as a personal insult. They left the church. They must not like you, John. They must not like your preaching. They must not like what's happening here. You have failed them in some way. And I do. I take it that way. But I know that I shouldn't. What Jesus is telling me here is, listen, lay down your right to be offended and realize that you are not your own. You are a son of God, a daughter of peace, that you are a representative of the kingdom, a herald in the darkness. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you, rejects me. this hurts my head a lot. It gives me hope. It gives me fear. This is one of those passages that I can just sit down and stop at for a long time, because the implications spider web out in all directions. I can lead you to the text of Scripture, but I cannot make you care about it. I can show you what the Word of God says, but I cannot make you interested in it. What's the old expression? You can lead the horse to water, right? But you can't make him drink. I have a dog. Her name is Tara. Some of you guys have met Tara. She's old. She's an old dog. She's probably, what, 15? Aaron, how old is Tara? 14? I was close. She only eats when the moon is in the appropriate section of the sky. The humidity level has reached a certain, like, it has to be the perfect alignment of events for her to eat. And it doesn't matter what I put in the bowl, unless it's turkey. Like, if you put turkey in the bowl, she's all about that. But just normally, I can't make her eat it. So I fill up the bowl. I make sure she's happy. I make sure she's loved on. I put the gravy stuff on there, and I do what I can. But ultimately, I have to realize it's her job to do the eating. I can preach the sermon and break down the text and point out why we're talking about it, but ultimately, if all you do is listen to the sermon where I talk about how to read the Bible, it's kind of like watching a video about how to brush your teeth with never actually trying. The actual good doesn't come from me preaching a good one. The good comes from God's people loving the Word of God, seeking it, sharing it. This is a path that we must each walk. I cannot guarantee success, but I can guarantee effort. And the amount of effort that most people are willing to make is very, very small, because they're willing to make effort until they meet resistance. You wouldn't believe what she said to me when I did this and I thought it was nice and she didn't like it. Well, of course she didn't like it. She doesn't like anything that anybody else does. You know what I'm talking about? There are those people out there, you could put a $100 bill in their pocket and they'd whine about the lack of a 50. I wanted it in two bills. Listen, if your job is to make people happy, you've set yourself an unattainable goal. Instead, fix your eyes on Christ and ask yourself, does this further the cross? And rest in your relationship with Jesus. Some guys are just grumblers. I'm a pro at grumbling. I can grumble better than anyone I know. Aaron, no amen. Thank you. I appreciate your support. The reality is this. Listen, guys, how many times, this may hurt, but listen to me. Have you ever stopped someone from serving God because instead of being a voice of support and love, you were a voice of criticism and unappreciation? The answer to that is probably yes. As a matter of fact, it's definitely yes. Let's look at another passage. This is our last one. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 19. And the 70, or the 72, depending on how you count, returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book, are written in heaven. Their enemy was not the people that they were trying to serve. Their enemy was not the people who rejected their preaching. Their enemy was not the man or the woman who criticized their effort. Their enemy was not the person who opposed their opinion. Their enemy is the darkness that infests the world around us and twists the minds and hearts of people. To understand that when you encounter someone who is eaten up with bitterness, that you must hit your knees and pray that God would deliver him from the power of darkness, rather than condemn him for the sin that has so easily beset him. A new year. Let us take the battle to the gates. Step up and go. Let's get the small groups going. Let's get prayer groups gathered. Let's start reading our Bible with intensity and purpose. Let's start reaching out to one another. Let's start finding people to invest in. Because Satan has fallen. His power stripped away. It speaks there of scorpions and serpents. In the Old Testament, it talks about demons like creatures of the darkness, infesting the corners and cracks of abandoned places. That's where you always find a snake, isn't it? In the woodpile or in that old barn. If you find scorpions, you find them in the same place. Although I did go on a missions trip once, and there was one in the shower with somebody, and they thought, this is unacceptable. You can't be in here. But it's a creature. It shouldn't be there. Listen, he talks about demons this way, and he says, listen, this is the enemy. He doesn't name the people in Chorazin. He doesn't name the people in Capernaum, because the enemy of Jesus was not people. The enemy of Jesus was the spiritual darkness behind him. Now, I know you pray a lot for people. You pray a lot for people who are sick. You pray a lot for people who are struggling, and you must continue to do so. But do not forget to pray against the powers of darkness. One of the things that I notice is, and I've shared this before, it's normally about 20 minutes or so after I preach and put it out online, I get a wave of depression that comes over me, and I recognize it for what it is. I fired a shot at the enemy, and he fires one right back. It would be helpful to have people out there who would pray a covering over me. If I knew that you were getting ready to go and to teach to someone, I would love to be praying for you as you teach. If I knew that you were getting ready to go and have a conversation with someone and you were worried about it, we have got to stand together to reach out, to rejoice, not because we have power, but because our names are written in heaven. And there are more names written in heaven than there are friends on your Facebook page. Even people who don't like you or who you don't like could be a child of peace. Check your hearts, my friends. Check your desire. As we go into this new year, what are your goals spiritually? One of the things that I'm going to be doing this new year, I've been thinking about it, is I do a lot of talking to people about things in their Bible. And one of the things I often hear is, I read that same passage and I never saw what you're talking about. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to just start at the very beginning with people, and it's going to involve people from multiple churches, how to read your Bible. I'd like to talk to you about themes in Scripture. I'd like to just take some basics and walk through, this is how you read your Bible. This is how you spot themes in Scripture. And I'm going to do it every Sunday night until I feel like stopping. I'm going to stand right there. We'll put the screen up there. And I'm just going to talk. It's going to be online based. There's going to be information that goes out online, text to read, stuff for you to practice. I'm not going to lock the doors of the building. So if you want to come in and participate, that's great. Tonight at 6:30, I'm going to do an introduction to this. So check your Facebooks if you're Facebookers, and you'll see the video. It's going to go out online. But this is one small thing I can try. What are you doing? I loved when you guys all read scripture together. I thought that was great. I loved when everyone was praying together. I thought that was great. I don't know what God is leading you to do, but I do know that He is leading you. So open your ears to listen. May God bless you. I'll talk to you again soon. Let me pray with you. And Aaron, if you'll stop the video after I've finished. God bless the church. Take our attempts to give you glory and be glorified. Allow us, Lord, to follow you, to love you with all our heart. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.